I mentioned in class that I got the call last night kind of late, so this may be a first. My sermon notes are on post-it notes. So this is kind of, I got to thinking, I've always got two or three ideas of things that I'd like to talk about rattling around in my head. And I got to thinking last night, because that was kind of the shortest notice that I've ever had to stand up and preach a sermon. A day or two is one thing, a few hours is another. And I thought, well, what do I know most about? I'm in the construction business. So I was out in Fulton, Missouri. By the way, I went to church for Bible study in Columbia, Missouri, Wednesday night. If any of y'all ever find yourself in Columbia, Missouri, that's where the University of Missouri or Missouri University is located, Mizzou. If you're ever there on a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or Sunday night, stop by the East Side Church of Christ. It's on Highway 63, just south of downtown, just south of the campus. There's some really, really fine people there. And I came away uplifted for having been there. Another reason I had a good week. But I was in town to help a company understand how to use the products that my company manufactures. I'm in the construction business. I have always wanted to be in the construction business. When I was a kid, I built tree houses, I built forts, and that's what I still do. I build tree houses and forts. They're a little bigger, a little bit more complicated. But ain't that what we do, Mr. Sanford? We build tree houses and forts. Some of them pump gas. I'm still doing what I'd love to do. So I thought that this morning I would talk about some lessons that we could learn from a construction site. The Bible talks a lot about building. Except the Lord build thy house, they labor in vain. We have little verses like that. What did we sing when we were in Sunday school class when we were kids? Wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. We're very, very familiar. So when we think about construction in the Bible, I start, and one of the first things I want to know about a job is who the owner is. Most of us want to know if we're contracting on the job, subcontracting on the job, we want to be sure we're going to get paid. At the end of our labors, we want a reward. Oh, that sounds familiar. The owner of the building that we're a part of is our Creator, is God. And all of us ask ourselves at one time or another, or maybe frequently, what's the purpose of the building? If God's building a building and we're part of the process, what's the purpose of the building? Building this week that I was working on was an institution for the criminally insane. I think God's got that taken care of. But I like to think that the answer to the question, why is God building the building, is kind of found in that psalm where it says, talks about the man that has children and how children are like arrows. And it said, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. If God has adopted us as children, I got to believe that He wants His quiver full of children. And he wants heaven full of children. There is little that I can think of that's more fun to watch than a grandpa with a bunch of grandkids just wearing him out. Ain't that fun? And that big old hearty laugh booming through the house and the little kids dancing around just screaming. My grandpa's name is Mokey. See, Smokey, the blue tick hound, is the mascot for the University of Tennessee. So my wife decided that my grandpa's name would be Smokey. I said, baby, those kids aren't going to be able to say smut. And sure enough, it came out Mokey. Now, Darlene is from here, so her grandma name is Bama. There's hardly anything sweeter than to hear those kids, those little grandkids, run to the door when you first walk in down in Tampa, where unfortunately they live. And what you're hearing is, Mokey, 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 Mokey. Look at this, Mokey. Look at that, Mokey. Hey, oh, hey, Bama. I mean, that's the way I picture heaven. That's the way I picture when God, when I try to identify the purpose God has for us, I think he wants his quiver full of arrows. And that's what heaven is going to be like to me. Who's the architect on the building that we're a part of? Well, John chapter 1 says that the Word was with God and that there was nothing created without him, by him and through him. And so I kind of think of Jesus kind of as the architect who came and visited the site. And showed us how to do it. I thought a little bit about site prep. Now, Paul Jones can help us with this. Paul is, his company doesn't do the site prep, but his company puts utilities in that are necessary for the site to be able to function. You might call in somebody to do a geological survey. And I thought, okay, so if how does a geological survey relate to something in the Scriptures? And it reminded me of how Peter tells the Christians in 1 Peter chapter 5 to be on the alert, which is what you do when you do a geological survey on a site. You are on the alert, looking for something that's not stable. Like you hear about these sinkholes in Florida that open up and just swallow up a whole house or a whole building or a parking lot or something like that. Well, 1 Peter chapter 5 says, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Seeking who he may swallow up like a sinkhole. And so in the process of site preparation, bring in the bulldozers and scrape off all the stuff that doesn't belong there. Pardon me. And remove it from the site. And that's kind of what we need to be doing in our life. Scraping off the stuff that doesn't belong in our life. And getting our site prepped. When we think about the materials, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, and here I am. We did the Bible class this morning, and I've got the electronics up here. So I'm going to run over to 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 4, it talks about us coming to Him, coming to Jesus, as to a living stone. Jesus is a stone that was rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. We also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So when we talk about the building materials, we are the building materials. Okay? So God has prepared, and building materials are there, is us. And Paul, when we think about site prep and we talk about putting in the utility rough ends and stuff like that, what kind of utilities you want run into a building? What do you think, Dave? Number one, water. Jesus said He would give us living water. So He's put that into place. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. We read in Matthew chapter 5. Hunger and thirst after the Word of God. And so to me, that's the water line. What else do we usually supply? Power. Power. We want power. What was supplied for us that gives us power? The blood of Jesus Christ gives us the power to overcome anything that devil can throw at us. He has no power over us at all. And you don't have to submit to him because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the power in that blood. And there's another power, I believe, that I enjoy. It's the Holy Spirit. And I don't always understand exactly everything He does, but I am quite certain that when Jesus promised His apostles that He would send them a comforter, and the comforter would help them remember all the things that He had told them, I am firmly convinced that the Holy Spirit comforts me in exactly the same way today. I don't think the Holy Spirit comes into my heart and smacks me on the head and heals me of all the evil in my life. I've never seen that happen. Not to me. But I can tell you, I don't know how many hundreds of times the Holy Spirit has had to stop me in my tracks, and He smacks me in the head with the remembrance of a scripture I've learned over my 59 years. And He tells me which way I need to go by way of remembrance. David, you ever get hit like that? You ever fixing to do something and you just ain't thinking about it, you're just going to do it. And all of a sudden, here comes that passage. Crying out loud. I guess I won't go there. I guess I won't do that. Well, what about you, Roger? Has that ever happened to you? You ain't thinking, then all of a sudden you are thinking. Smacks you right in the middle of the head, doesn't it? I believe that's the Holy Spirit. I believe that's the comfort that we have in the Holy Spirit, and I am thankful for it. Because it has probably kept me out of a world of hurt. It's what's kept me faithful to my wife. I'm on the road. Now, one of the reasons I like being in the construction business is because there ain't a lot of girls in the construction business. There ain't a lot of women in the construction business. And, of course, I ain't got much to work with anyway. Nobody's going to come cozying up to me and go, "Ooh, you're a handsome devil." I ain't heard that since I was 35 years old. I mean, I ain't heard that in a real long time. But sometimes my mind wanders. And almost invariably, it doesn't take long for me to remember the Word of God and get myself back to where I belong. I like to think that I'm a strong individual. At 60 years old, you'd think that I would have developed a fair amount of strength. I relate more to the words of Paul in Romans chapter 7, "O wretched man that I am," way more than I relate to the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And I revel in the grace of God. Now there's something I wish we had on construction sites, right, Paul? A little bit of grace every once in a while. Instead of having to pull up another document, another letter, just get it done. Let's move the job forward. Where do we start? We're fixing to build a new building. Where do we start? What kind of building do we want to build? I'm not talking about seats. I'm not talking about wall coverings. I don't care whether it's wood or metal. Metal. Steel. I don't care what you put on the outside of it. I'm lying. I got some really good stuff. I got a lot of opinions about how we ought to build that building, but why are we building it? What do we hope to accomplish? What do we want to do with it? What purpose is it going to be? Serving for us who see ourselves as pilgrims and strangers in this place. What purpose is it going to serve for us who are searching for a better place? Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, now I got to poke some things on this thing and get over to Ephesians chapter 4. And this says I'm working out of the New King James. Verse 11 says, "He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, no longer be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body," or the whole structure, "joined and fitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." What do we want to do with a new physical structure. Well, we're first anticipating growth. We may be acknowledging that there are some inadequacies here. Okay, maybe we don't have enough classroom space. Maybe if we have a bunch of people, we have trouble fitting in here for worship service. But what do we as a congregation of the Lord's people really, 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 really want to accomplish? The broad view is that we want to grow up and be like Jesus. What was Jesus like? Jesus loved people. Jesus was so patient and so kind with people. And we want to be patient and kind with people. We want to live well. Jesus promised us certain things. Jesus served other people. And ultimately, he built them up. So we're going to build a building in which we hope to function better as a congregation of God's people. A place in which we can better build each other up and learn to love better, learn to live better, learn to serve others. And the bottom line is that we need to keep all of this in mind as we go through that process. If half of you don't like the color of the carpet, so what? When God decides to strike his match, it ain't going to make any difference anyway. These are temporal things. But I'll be switched if you don't hear about people arguing and fussing and fighting with one another because they don't like this about the way that's being done. And it's hard to get this construction project completed, and I don't mean the building down the hill. It's hard to get this construction project completed if we're biting and devouring one another over things that really don't make any difference. Those of you who are younger who have been in my class, how do I define reality? Now, you don't have to speak up, and I'm hoping some of you remember. But my definition of reality is this. If you can put enough heat to it, if you can strike a match and put enough heat to it and turn it into a pile of ashes, it ain't very real. Heard me say that before, hadn't you? It ain't too real if you can turn it into a puddle of hot liquid. The things that are real that will go into the building of this house and that one are things like integrity and honesty and fair dealing. You can't strike a match to love and turn it into ash. It don't work that way. That makes love real. Do you love your fellow man? Are you too busy judging them for every little thing? Are you building each other up? Are we building each other up? Or are we tearing each other down and then expecting to go build up people in the world and have them come see us when we assemble? Y'all come. There's a lot of lessons that I can, a lot of analogies I can draw, and I don't really mean to be cutesy about it. But the Bible does talk about edification. And I use the word edifice quite frequently in my business. Because Shane, that's what we do, isn't it? We edify these building materials until they're built into a functional building. We need to edify one another to the point where we're running on all 12 cylinders. I'm thinking Ferrari. I love that high-pitched whine of that 12-cylinder engine. And when you see that red streak pass by and you hear that whine, you think, man, what a car. At least I think that. You might not. Janice, you probably don't. I don't know. But that's what we're after. We want a building. We want an edifice. We want a temple built up to our Lord Jesus Christ in which all of us are functioning. And so that's what we want to do for one another, is to build each other up, to edify each other day by day. Dan, being the official timekeeper of the congregation, has determined that it's time for me to shut up and sit down. Dan would have loved Johnny Edwards. Johnny used to say, I'm going to stand up, speak up, shut up, and sit down, and the lesson will be yours. Dan's going, yeah, yeah. I hope that you want to be built up into Jesus Christ. I hope you want to love like He loved. I hope you want to live in the grace and the mercy that He has given us. And if you're like Bailey this morning, I hope you understand that the time is right now. Do not walk out of this building without dedicating your life to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't do it. None of us are guaranteed any time. You know as well, you can't watch the news without thinking of someone whose life, or without seeing someone whose life was cut short. This past week, that Irish girl singer, Dolores O'Riordan, died, 47 years old. I never paid a bit of attention to Dolores O'Riordan, but she was Irish, so I Googled her. And then I started hearing some of her songs. And now I got Dolores O'Riordan songs and Cranberry songs running through my mind. Who would have thought? The world is shocked that at 47 years old, she's gone. If you're going to go, you need to know where you're going. And if you haven't named Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you haven't walked the footsteps that He's asked you to walk, and committed your life, been buried with Him in baptism, you don't know where you're going. You're taking a big chance. Don't walk out that door. Let's stand and sing a song of encouragement. Jesus is softly and tenderly calling. Come today as we stand and sing.